Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And then Friday, warm in the 65, back to the 70s by Saturday and Sunday. Some more seasonal than cold. Mike Dettelier joins us now. We all know who Mike is. Morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Tom.
Well, I tell you one thing. I'm happy about the game didn't go into overtime yesterday.
So was I.
Man. That was, and I said this early, earlier, thank goodness that... It was one of those games that really no team, it was a shame that anybody had to win, don't you think?
Well, somebody got to win.
Yeah, I know.
And so in that case, I'm glad it's the Saints that did. But this is what happens when you let sort of a bad team hang around. Because
yep.
Saints had chances just to put them away and didn't do it. And... you know, they hang around. All of a sudden, they make a few plays, and they right back in the game, and they had a chance to tie it and bring it into overtime. The one guy who had one hell of a game was Brian Brisset.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen flashes of it before with Brian, but yesterday he had a really strong game. Rushing the quarterback, two pass deflections, and then certainly the blocked field goal at the end of the game.
And look, you know, I heard some people, you know, Howard Cosell wannabe saying Derek Carr should have done this, shouldn't have done that. You play to win the game, all right? That's in the heat of the moment, you don't have a second to decide, should we do this second down, is it third down, is it this, is it that, is it the other thing? And I think those same people, if he had not done that, would have been saying, what a wuss, he's going out of bounds. So you can't have it both ways, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the life of a quarterback, unless you're a star in this league. And even when you're a star quarterback, you get that criticism too. So, you know, Derek understands this. When Jake DeLome told me this years ago. He's like, I forget which high school coach told him this, and he said, it's always stuck in my mind. He said, the day you decide you're going to be a quarterback, you better understand what that position means. You're going to get a lot of heat for playing. Everybody's going to be critical of you. You should have done this. You should have done that. You're going to get a lot more praise than you should get if you have success. And you're going to get a ton more criticism than you should get, you know, even when it's not your fault. But he said it's part of the position. And when Jake talks to young quarterbacks, it's one of the first things he brings up to them about, hey, you better have a thick hide on you because you're going to get it. No matter how good you are, you're going to catch a lot of flack for playing that quarterback position. And he's absolutely right.
And I do know this. If you want to ensure, pretty much ensure that you get hurt, play not to get hurt. Would you not agree?
In this league, you cannot play not to get hurt.
Because you pretty much guarantee yourself getting hurt if that's the way you play.
You're going to get hurt because, yep. In essence, this is the big leagues. All this stuff about football I played when I was in high school.
Let me tell you about Livaday Middle High, Mike. Let me tell you what the days were like back there at Livaday, okay? Let me tell you about that.
And it's one of them Al Bundy poke high stuff, scored three touchdowns in one game. No, in this league, them guys, this is their profession, and they take it serious. It's the same thing about tanking, which I don't get. These are the same people that talk about lazy people in this world, and they don't do this and they don't do that. But they want teams to tank. Mm-hmm. In essence, you're telling a player, I don't want you to do too well. I want you just to kind of half-ass it when you're out on the field. Come on. You play to win the game. And this stuff about draft choice position, you worry about that after the season's over with. But when you're out on the field, you out to play. And if you want to continue living this lifestyle, which pays you a lot more than you're going to get paid in the real world, you're going to give it your best because everybody's watching now, especially a team like New Orleans or the Giants. Because if your contract's coming up, what did you do when things were bad? Everybody's pretty good when you're winning, but when you're bad, how much effort did you put into that? So, again, a lot of the same people that will come on social media, text us and all about, you know, laziness and everything else, they want their own team to tank, which is really amazing to me. And it doesn't happen in the National Football League. You tank, you're going to get hurt, and you're going to be right out of the league real fast.
And to think that when you're running for a first down, you're going to have it in that moment in a quarterback's mind that you're going to be, in light of everything else that's going on in his mind prior to the snap and the call and the defense and everything else, you're going to think, oh, wait, it's second down. I have another chance. Let me just that's somebody's never put a helmet on. That's just crazy. That's nuts. Let me take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about, here's where I am on this season. I'm not giving up on anything. I don't want to tank anything. I'm just looking to put the team in the best position for success in the future. That's what I'm looking for here. And in terms of evaluation, you know, you got this yesterday, this one play, and I'm looking at it on my phone right now. I took a picture of it where Derek Carr gets sacked, and I don't know how both tight ends can overlook a guy that's lined up in front of them. And we'll talk about fixing things like that. We'll talk about Darren Rizzi and his explosion on the sidelines against the punter and if that means anything or not and the future of the team and all that stuff. They're not technically eliminated from the playoffs, but, you know, let's be real here. 621 traffic, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Mike Dettelier. I am happy the Saints won yesterday. I love the Saints. I bleed black and gold. But that being said, to be real, just to keep it honest, they barely beat a terrible team that was playing with a third-string quarterback. Darren Rizzi and the head coach addressed it after interim coach addressed it after the game, saying that Alvin Kamara stepped in between him and the punter and said, "Riz, I didn't expect you'd lose your blank against the punter to kind of break it up." I get a text about that. A couple of them. One says, "That was refreshing to see accountability. That's what the man gets paid for. Hugs and kisses don't get it done in the NFL." Another text says, "That's why Rizzi ain't no head coach. He's one note. Got to have more dimension than that." When Alvin Kamara is breaking up a fight on the sideline, that to me is leadership. That's what a team captain should do, and the way he did it was very diplomatic. Thoughts on that whole scenario, Mike?
You can watch games, and you'd see it every week. Okay, just so happens. I mean, the camera catches everything today. NFL films, if you watch some of their stuff, you'll see the confrontations between players, joined with one another, coach and a player. It happens, and it's in the heat of the moment, and you lose your temper. You're human. Come on, that's all that it means. And you're getting paid a lot of money, and so he got his point of interest to the punter real quickly about what he was doing wrong. But, Tommy, man, people made a big thing. Nick Saban used to explode on the sidelines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Every week, and they would catch him doing it. And that was a big thing. It got to the point where you understood that happens a lot. It happens every week in the NFL. The same way that Alvin would be the one to get in between them is really pretty good because, man, I could have given you a lot of picks, and I don't think it would have been Alvin Kamara.
But let me tell you something. That to me, I mean, really, really showed to me a lot about him, about his maturity, about being a captain, about being a team leader, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know Coach Rizzi has talked about this, and I'm not sure if it was this week or maybe a couple weeks back. He talked about on when we were having a visit Pensacola Saints coaches show that he has a really good relationship with Alvin Kamara. Really good. And he said it's just not like player coach, that, you know, they can go and talk to each other about certain things. Mm-hmm. And I think you always need to have that in a locker room, because the locker room is really controlled by players. People have this false pretense that the locker room's controlled by the head coach and the assistant coaches. No, it's not. It's controlled by the players. And so you kind of want a little bit of a guy there that's got your back if something goes wrong or things go wrong. And for him to have that type of relationship with Alvin Kamara, he said it before, and yesterday was living proof of it.
I'm going to tell you what.
You know, Alvin came in to kind of settle, hey, calm down. We're going to be okay. You got your point across. We get it.
This is saying a lot. But at this point, I would have to say AK is my favorite Saint of all time. I would have to say that. From the way he plays after seeing it yesterday, I know he had some trouble in Las Vegas and all that, but I would have to say, all in all, work ethic, everything else, commitment, I'd have to give. Now, who's your, let me ask the audience that, 504-260-1870. At this point, who's your favorite Saint of all time? And I would say Alvin Kamara, and I know you can't put his name up on that Ring of Honor yet, but he's destined for it. 6:30 more, we come back. Traffic, news, everything now on WWL. 6:45, quarter till 7. Mike Dettillier has got a long day on Monday. He's going to be second-guessing with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, today, this evening at the Silver Slipper Casino on the beach in beautiful Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. They're going to recap the Saints-Giants game, take a look at who made the first-ever 12-team college football playoff. And then at 6:30, Voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, and in the Cajun Cannon, Saints Coaches Show with Darren Rizzi and quarterbacks coach Andrew Giannakko. I hope I pronounced that right. Then at 7:30, Monday Night Football, the Bengals and Joe Burrow at the Dallas Cowboys on WWL on a free Odyssey app. Mike's with us now. We appreciate the long days as always, Mike. You know, look, you can look at any football game and look at any play, and there are guys that do their jobs and guys that don't, and no play is perfect, right? But when you see something like, and I want to ask you about this specifically, and it resulted in a sack of, what do you call him, Derek Carr. When you see these two tight ends lined up, Hoker and Foster Moreau, and there's a giant right in between them, and they both look away from him, and he didn't come as a late blitz or anything. He was lined right up on the line. I don't understand how that can happen. Can you take me through this?
A rookie mistake by Hoker, okay? That was his pickup. And, you know, his deal was just, I'm going out and run the pattern.
Missed a call on a coverage or something like that? Is that what happened?
Exactly. Okay. You missed basically kind of that chip on that player that you're supposed to block. And, yeah, it does happen. You know, there's a mental part of this game that people don't get. And it's a lot more complicated than you might think. That's why, you know, when you brought up about, you know, favorite Saints player, Drew Brees comes to mind immediately for me. Not only did he take this team to heights that had never been done before, but it was his work ethic and his commitment and how he would simulate plays on a Saturday by himself, out on the field, and how much time and effort went into all that. That, man, that takes a lot of commitment from somebody to kind of put aside everything and you're so focused. So that's why Drew would be, you know, he'd be on the top for me. But a lot of times with young players and even with older players, it'll happen from time to time. A young player will miss an assignment. He misses where he should be blocking instead of going out for a pass. But his focus is, I'm going to get open. You look at Hoker's history, he's always been sort of used, if it was BYU and in Colorado State, as a pass-catching tight end. Well, guess what? In the NFL, they want you to block every once in a while. So he missed that assignment. He did get to catch his first pass ever in the NFL yesterday, but you can understand why he missed that key in picking up the guy that he was supposed to block on that play and just went out for a pass.
And again, that's just an example. You can look at tape, they got, or whatever they call it, video, and they got, you know, everybody misses a play here or there on every play. Not everybody conducts their assignment perfectly, but this is just a plain old miss. Let me ask you about what's going on in college football with the first off, let me take a step back. Let's talk about this week. No Derek Carr, so you're going to be talking about Jake Haino or Daratla. What do you think the Saints will do?
Listen, I would not count out Derek Carr not playing.
The only thing I thought of with that bad hand, it's going to be hard to get under center, right? You'd have to go in a shotgun.
Well, it's not your throwing hand.
Yeah, I know that.
But, again, a lot of times you're coming out of the shotgun, so you can sort of be protective a little bit with it. I would not rule him out at all. People say he's not a tough guy. Come on. Be real. He's a tough guy out there. You take them shots he takes,
oh, yeah.
He's a tough guy.
And the other thing I noticed yesterday, Mike, when you give him some time, he's a different, as is every quarterback, and it probably sounds dumb. Josh Allen might be an exception, but when you give Derek Carr time, he can place the ball.
What he's really good at, Tommy, is the long pass.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he throws a long ball really well.
And a nice motion when he has time.
Where he struggles is in the intermediate part of the throws. That's been an issue if you go back to his high school, college, with the Raiders and with the Saints. The intermediate throws is where he struggles, really struggles. And so the deep ball he throws extremely well, but do not rule him out to play against the Commanders. And I think there'll be a lot more interest in this weekend's game than, say, the Giants.
Oh, with Jaden
Because
Daniels.
Of one guy.
Oh, yeah.
A year ago today, Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy. And that guy, it was something special to watch at LSU. And look what he's done to help transform a football team in Washington that was flatlined, absolutely flatlined. He gave him some oomph, and that dude can play. That kid can play. That was his nickname, that kid. But, man, can he play.
Man, I tell you what, I happened to be on the field with Tim Zimmer for his last touchdown pass. Got a great view of it. And it's amazing for people that don't get that opportunity because you're looking at the receiver and it's like, there's no way he's going to fit the ball. Oh, there he is. There, what do you know? There it is right there in that 2-inch spot. There's the ball. 6:51, 9 till 7. Traffic now. More with Mike. We come back. All right, 6:57, 3 till 7. Quickly back to Mike Dettelier. Mike, let's talk about the transfer portal. Tulane, Darian Mensah, LSU, and compare the two programs and transfer portal and name, image, and likeness. And just as two case studies, how this whole new college football system is likely to affect either one.
Yeah, it's going to affect you year to year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way it's set up to do. Yesterday, you got the yin and the yang with Tulane. Okay, basically looks as though, even though it's not confirmed, looks as though for sure that John Summerall is going to be back next year. Mm-hmm. And then on the other part, Darian Mensah decides he's going to put his name in the portal. He's got two lawyers that are handling all this. And so he's going to get paid a bundle by someone. And okay, they can reach out. They know who his attorneys are. Hey, this is what we're looking at. If they pay $2 million to Bryce Underwood, who's never taken a snap in a college game, Mensah's going to get a lot of dough. And so that's just part of the world that we live in today.
Mike, let me ask you this real quick.
Seven or eight.
I want to get your take on this real quick. Wouldn't it make sense? Okay, name, image, and likeness, all that stuff. All right, fine. But you know what? When you sign a deal, for 4 years, and you can't enter the transfer portal once you take some kind of name, image, and likeness money. You think you'll ever see that? Because that, to me, is the only rational bit of sense here. Because otherwise, Mensah could get his name, image, and likeness money for a year, then decide, you know what, let's go get some more name, image, and likeness money from the next highest bidder the next year, right?
That's absolutely correct. But basically, what a lot of people don't gather is these scholarships they sign, they're one-year deals. It's not a four-year scholarship.
So it works both ways.
And so now we've moved into that part of it today where you're going to see guys cash in multiple times on these name, image, likeness deals. And it's almost like free agency in the NFL, but it's going to be done at the collegiate level.
Even worse because there's no salary cap, right?
Correct. And so if you got a guy that knows how to write a big check, he can sort of buy his own team.
Best team money can buy. Thank you, Mike. We'll listen for you this afternoon.
You,
you bet. Mike Dottiglia, I always appreciate it. WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. He'll be second-guessing with Bobby Hebert, Silver Slipper, on the beach in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Head out there if you can. Have some fun with him. If not, just listen on WWL. We'll talk about Syria and Assad when we come back. Tommy Tucker, glad you're with us Monday morning, WWL.